Recording has started.
Thank you very much, operator. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody, and welcome to the GNSO Council with the ICANN board meeting to discuss next steps following the ICANN board adoption of the temporary specification on Tuesday, 5th of June 2018, 13 UTC. As a reminder, attendance in the Adobe Connect room is for ICANN board members, GNSO councillors, and ICANN org support staff only. An audio cast has been set up for listen-only purposes, and details of which have been circulated on the council list and posted here in the top right-hand pod in the Adobe Connect room should you receive any additional participation requests. Please do remember to state your full names before speaking for recording and transcription purposes. These will be posted to the GNSO master calendar and circulated to board support staff upon receipt. With that, I'd like to hand the call over to Shireen Chalabi, Chair of the ICANN Board of Directors. Thank you, Shireen, and over to you.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. I just want to say a few words, then I'll pass over to Heather to say also a few words, and then we'll both hand over to Chris Despain, who will facilitate this discussion. I understand we have now almost 50 minutes because the GNSO has, another meeting in about 50 minutes from now, so we'll try and do as much as possible during those 50 minutes. Just to go back to the temporary specification that the board has adopted, the board in its resolution resolved to consult with the GNSO Council as soon as possible on the path forward to consider the development of a consensus policy on the issues within the temporary specification. And we said in our resolution that the board will consult with the GNSO Council about the expected scope of the PDP, timing consideration, and relevant procedural requirements. So the meeting of today is part of that consultation. And in preparation for today's meeting, Heather and myself have been exchanging emails in terms of what kind of questions we will have for this meeting and the agenda for this meeting. And the question fell into three categories. One is the scope, second one is timing, and the third one is participation of other stakeholders. So I just want to say something and then, now about the where we are. I think it is fair to say that we are, all of us, in uncharted territory, and that we may not be able on this call to answer all questions, and therefore a degree of flexibility is required. The GNSO is the manager of the PDP process, and the board does not wish to micromanage that process at all. In fact, our role is to be supportive of the GNSO and to be available for collaborative and collegial discussions as we go forward. And I hope that is the tone with which we will conduct our discussion. With that in mind, I'll hand over to Heather. Heather?
Thanks very much, Shireen. This is Heather Forrest. Thank you very much to everyone for joining the call today. Thank you to our board colleagues for joining us for this discussion. So this really is, if you like, the next step on next steps for the GNSO Council following our May GNSO Council meeting, which took place on the 24th of May. In that discussion, the Council determined that it was an appropriate time to begin to capture questions that we had that arose in that meeting, and then subsequently we've had a collection last week of, or an open document, if you like, of questions that could be raised today. As Shireen noted, I circulated those to the council and immediately after to Shireen a few days ago, following a chance to compile them with Donna, Rafiq, and Marika. So what you see on the screen in front of you today, and apologies, I should have noted it more clearly with the heading. For example, under scope, under each major heading, the three buckets that Shireen has described, you'll see three questions. Those are three questions that have come from the board. Following that, you'll see the heading there, questions from the GNSO Council. And so we've seen, we have these on the screen. What I propose that we do is, unless anyone has any questions from an immediate starting point, What we thought might be most helpful is just to work through these questions one by one. The board has had a chance to see our questions in advance, albeit not a huge amount of time, so I'm appreciative of the board for its patience here as we work to get these together. But there has been some time to reflect and perhaps seek answers on some of these questions. So I think if I can, you know, start us off by saying I think the purpose of this call ought to be questions that can be answered today. That's brilliant. Let's record the answers to those questions. We've got staff in the notes and action items pod taking some very high-level notes. We will have this as a recording that we can go back to later if you want to focus on a particular answer or so on. Let's identify the questions that are able to be answered today. Let's then, for any question that's not able to be answered today, let's identify who it is that needs to do follow-up work to answer that question and try and set a, you know, a timeline for when that could be answered. So that gives us a bit of a start, an idea of what we want to aim to do today. And with that, I understand, Chris, you are willing to take us through the questions from the board side.
Yeah, thanks very much, Heather. This is Chris Despain. Yes, I've got some notes that I can refer to as well, and to try and deal with answering some of the questions as we go along. And I've no doubt that if I misspeak or say something that is wrong, others such as John and will leap in and correct me. It seems to me that a number of these questions, although we've split them into, you know, questions from the board and questions from the GNSO, and a number of these questions overlap and are in fact asking pretty much the same thing, perhaps using slightly different words. And a good example of that is if you go to question 4 under scope, which is the question from the GNSO, and that is pretty much encapsulating what is set out in questions, you know, 1, 2, and 3 from the board. So, Heather, if it's all right with you, perhaps we could start with addressing that question. What's the intent of the PDP, the EPDP? The reference to the temporary specification as is, and making changes to reach consensus. And I can address that briefly if that's okay with you.
Chris, I think that's very helpful, and indeed you've made a very good point to start us here, which is to say that there is a fair bit of overlap in the questions from the council and the questions from the board, and you know, in working with the council leadership, we decided to not to try and merge them, let's say, because it shows, if you like, that both sides are thinking about the same thing. So by all means, start with 4.
Good. Okay. Well, again, before I do, just let me echo briefly what Shireen said. I think the key to this is flexibility and understanding that, as Shireen said, you know, we're in uncharted territory here, and we really would like to work collegially and flexibly with you. And I think, you know, accept that in some cases, you know, things are not set in stone now, and we're going to need to deal with issues and problems when they arise. Now, the simple straight answer, well, perhaps not simple, but straight answer to the question about the PDP is that I think in our view there is room for various outcomes, and those outcomes include confirming the approach in the temporary specification, which I suppose in essence is the as-is outcome. But also outcomes such as developing a different approach than what's established in the temporary specification, subject obviously to that approach reaching consensus. And thirdly, addressing additional issues that are not specifically defined in the temporary specification, but for example are identified in the annex to the temporary specification. And as Shireen said, it's very much in the GNSO's bailiwick to manage it, but we will stand by to help in any way that we can to work collaboratively together. John or anyone from legal, do you want to add anything to what I've said about that particular question before we go to ask anyone if they've got any comments or questions on it.
Hey, Chris, this is Erica Randall.
Hi, Erica.
I think maybe we can, if there are any questions, we can try to help respond as well. But okay. Maybe just start the conversation here.
Sure. So, McKaylee, surprisingly, his hand is up. McKaylee.
Thanks, Chris. McKaylee, for the record. I think you left out one key thing around any outcomes from this. You said consensus. I would say it has to be legal. It doesn't matter a damn whether it's consensus if it's not legal.
You are completely correct, and absolutely, that is an overarching caveat on everything, of course. You can reach consensus on painting it blue, but if blue is not legal, then you can't paint it blue.
Thanks, Chris.
Anybody else want to comment at this stage? Donna.
Hi, Chris. Donna Austin. So the way that you cast this, that the outcome of the policy effort could be same as the temp spec, it could be a different approach, and it could consider the additional issues that are defined in the annex. One of potential challenges I see with that is that we're working to a 12-month deadline, and the clock is ticking. So I think the scoping of this is going to be really important, and we may need to understand whether some of those additional items that actually appear in the annex, whether that should stay within the scope of the PDP or discuss whether there's another way to do that. So I'm just flagging that because of the time frame that we're working to, we may have to slice and dice this a little bit differently than at all in the one effort.
I completely acknowledge and accept that. I think that's right, and in fact I'm not trying to move off question four, but it takes us relevantly to question six, which talks about what happens if we decide to modify the temporary specification, etc., which is kind of what you're saying, right? And I think that again, that goes back to the flexibility point. So I'll give you some examples, and I want to stress that they really are just examples, right? If there's an amendment to the temporary specification, what needs to happen is going to be largely dependent on the facts and the circumstances at the time. Clearly, the time frame is relevant. An amendment in month one could be perhaps differently dealt with or treated from an amendment in month 10 of a 12-month process. Secondly, the type of amendment could also govern how it's dealt with. So, as an example, something that is new might trigger a second temporary specification, which in turn would then trigger a bylaw mandated process. Equally, something that is not new but is an adjustment of something that's already in the temporary specification may be dealt with within that existing PDP. What I think it would be great for us to be able to get to is to agree that we need to be flexible, and that none of this should be set in stone, and that if those things arise, we will discuss with you what the best way of dealing with it is, and recognize that at the end of the day, you're the manager of the process and you get the final say. Does that provide a little bit more color and depth, and is that in any way helpful?
And this is John Jeffrey. I just wanted to add one thing to that.
Go ahead, John.
I think that also is important to balance in that we do not want to use the temporary specification tool unless absolutely necessary. So,
yes.
Although you're contemplating a possible amendment, we would only do that in the condition where there was something extraordinary that we needed to add based on the community and board discussion.
Thanks, John. Donna, did you want to come back on what I've said?
Yeah, quickly, Chris, just to respond, and I think Keith has picked this up in the chat. So I think the point I was making was that it's important to get the scoping right before we start. And I think what you're talking about is the potential for modifications downstream. So I think the point I was trying to make is that, you know, it's important that when we scope this, we understand what is going to be discussed within the PDP itself, but there may be other issues that are discussed that aren't within the PDP. There may be other ways that we can have those discussions. So that was the point I was making.
I agree with that. On a
similar path, but slightly different.
Yep, I agree with that. Okay. Anyone else before we move down the list of questions? Okay. So question five is one of the ones that we can't respond to today. It's something that that needs to be discussed, and I can't really add anything else to it other than that. John or Erica, did you have anything you wanted to say about question five before I move on?
Nothing from me, Kurt. Thank you.
Okay, all right. But Heather, I think that's something that we can and will discuss and get back on. Number six is the, you know, what happens if we modify, taking John's point completely, which is just not something that we would be doing unless we had to. So an example of what we might have to is, you know, a clear guidance received from DPA is indicating that a change to the temporary specification is required. Heather, I've seen your note. I'll get back to it in a second. So I think really it is a case of being flexible about that, and I'll happily open that up for any further discussion if anybody wants to talk about question six. Donna, is that your hand again?
Yes, it is. Sorry, Chris.
No, don't be. Don't apologise. It's fine. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't an old hand.
I think with regard to number six, while I understand the need for flexibility, I think we need to have some boundaries around it before we get started on this. Otherwise, we'll get into arguments at the time, you know, that, well, no, we don't agree that that's the way we should go forward or that's the way we should treat this. I think the more that we can agree up front before we kick off this effort, the better it's going to be for everybody. So it gives a little bit of clarity, particularly to the PDP working group itself, about what would need to happen in a circumstance where the board does replace the temporary specification with something new. I think we need to understand that going in. I don't think it's something we want to have a very long discussion about mid-course. So I think the more that we can reach agreement before we kick off this stuff, the better it will be for the PDP working group itself.
Understood, but I assume you would appreciate that if you take John's limited overarching caveat that if there's a legal reason that there needs to be a change, it would be pretty hard to not deal with that, I would have thought.
Chris, I get that. What I'm saying is that before we kick off this effort, we need to understand that if there is a change for a legal reason, what implication is that going to have on the PDP? So I'm not saying we would ignore it or we wouldn't do it or, you know, nothing would be done about it. I'm trying to, make the point that before we start any of this, we understand what we're getting into. We understand that it may be possible that the board for legal reasons, will change the temporary specification as it is. So what's the ramification for the PDP? We may not know what the substance is, but I think from a procedural point of view, we could, you know, provide some guidance before we kick this off.
Okay. I'm not sure how much detail you want to go into, and I'm conscious of the time, but my response to that would be yes, but it does depend, does it not, to some extent on the facts and circumstances at the time. So to take a specific example, is it something that could lend itself to an amendment to the existing temporary specification, or could lend itself to being dealt with in a separate temporary specification, bearing in mind all of the stuff that John has said about not wanting to overuse the temporary specification, only using it in circumstances where it really is warranted. The results of whichever way you choose to deal with it are different, because if you deal with it as a change to the existing temporary specification, then the question arises as to whether that extends the time or doesn't extend the time that a PDP runs. And if you deal with it as a separate matter, then it's a separate PDP. And I note in the notes that we've got, you know, you guys don't want to be running more than one PDP. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, dealing with it at the time. That doesn't mean that we can't agree with you what all of the possible alternatives are, but they're still all going to be possible alternatives rather than having something set in stone.
Right. Correct.
Okay, good. That means I think we're on the same page. Okay. Before I go to Stephanie, I've got, there was a couple of, Heather, did you have, your hand was up and then it went down again. Did you want to say something?
No, Keith, thanks. I've put a comment in the chat to keep us moving. Thank you.
Okay. Stephanie.
Apologies for the delay in unmuting. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Lovely. Stephanie Pan, for the record. I just wanted to clarify, because this is exceedingly confusing our way forward, and it's nobody's fault. It's just parallel track and the incompleteness of the sets of issues, in my view. So the way I see this, we have issues that are caught within the temporary spec that to which we may wish to add other issues as we encounter them in going through this. We have issues that were not included in the temporary spec but which are necessary in a who is policy. And then my question is, if they loom to sort of critical mass during this process, then the procedural issues that Donna just discussed arise. Do we park them in another later PDP, or do we try to work them into the temporary spec, and what's the procedure for that? And then we have matters that are in the category of the picket fence, inside or outside, which certain parties do not want to have either in the temporary spec or in a PDP policy. So I see three sort of areas where we're going to have issues arising, and I guess a lot of us have a concern that if they reach a critical mass, let's put it that way, that they might just get tucked into the spec. So the question of having a parking lot as another PDP does arise.
I agree. It doesn't.
Without a mechanism. Yeah, without a mechanism to say, okay, that's going over to the other PDP, and I share Michaeli's anxiety over starting another PDP, and I think we all feel this way. But I think if we just say in or out, well, they're all going to get dragged in, and I cannot see us finish under those circumstances. Thanks. Just wanted to raise that.
No, I agree. I think it's very relevant to the discussion that needs to be had if it arises. Michaeli, I noticed a question in the chat about the list of policies and contractual clauses. That is question 9 on your scope sheet, and the answer to that is that ICANN org is in the process of preparing a document, and it's expected to be out pretty soon, that shows areas of the existing agreements and consensus policies changed as a result of GDPR. So that should answer your, I think that's what you were referring to earlier on in a question in the chat, and I think that answers it. But your hand is up, so away you go.
Thanks, Chris. It sort of does. I mean, there's two parts to this. One part is with respect to the scoping of any policy development process around this. We need to know which policies we're dealing with specifically, because otherwise you're going to end up in a situation where you have a ton of policies written sitting in different silos, and then you have another overarching policy that changes them, but it's not clear that it does change them. That makes sense. Specifically within the contractual clauses, for those of us who've lived through various parts of the post-2013 REA, there were, how can I put this diplomatically, issues around interpretation of certain clauses within those contracts. So some of us ended up spending a disordinate amount of time debating interpretation of certain clauses, which wasn't a particularly fruitful use of anybody's time. So being able to say clearly, you know, subsection, in the 2013 REA or in the standard registry contract is modified by this or suspended, means that, you know, we're done. There's no further conversation around that. It's clear, and nobody ends up wasting time around this. Because otherwise, I can see a situation where third parties either come to ourselves or to ICANN.org demanding certain rights that no longer exist because certain things have been suspended. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone, given that the document that I referred to is being prepared by org, does anyone want to, in ICANN, John or Erica, want to refer to that and respond to what Michaeli's just said?
Hey, Chris, this is Erica Randall. Michaeli, your comment makes sense to me, and I think that's the path that we're going down. So I would ask that if, you know, once we produce the document, if you have questions or what have you, then please let us know, because our intent is to try to clarify and be helpful to address those kind of comments.
Yeah, so Erica, Heather is quite fairly asking in the chat, is there a timeline to produce that document? Can we get some indication of when it's likely to be there? Because I think it's clear that, as Keith is saying, it'll be extremely helpful for the council in dealing with its scoping question. So the sooner that they get it, the better. Do we have a clue as to when we'll be able to get it out to them?
Can we follow up after this call on that point to clarify that timing?
Yes, we can. But can we agree to follow up within a day?
Yes, no problem.
Okay, cool. Thank you. All right. So unless there is so Keith, I think that would, if we can at least tell you by, you know, this time tomorrow when the document's ready, and if perhaps org, Erica, you guys could bear in mind that there is a council meeting a week from today, and that every day that goes past is incredibly important from the 12-month point of view. So it would be really useful to get that information out to them, to the GNSO, as soon as possible. Okay. Good. I'm going to move on to question 7 is effectively sort of the same as question 6 in the sense of timelines, etc. So let's go then to 8. The temporary specification covers a number of additional policies that go beyond the requirements of the RA and RAA as they relate to RDDS. how does the board believe the GNSO Council should handle these areas of overlap? Well, so my answer to that is, well, what do you currently, well, it's not an answer, it's a question. What do you currently do when this happens? It must happen in existing PDPs. How do you normally deal with it? Does anybody want to have a go at tackling that question? Heather.
Thanks, Chris. Heather Forrest. Look, I think we're in, to use Shireen's words, we're in uncharted territory here in the sense that we're working off of the temporary specification. So this is a bit different than the situation where a PDP identifies issues that would fall outside the scope of the RA and RAA and can effectively park those. It's not really clear to me and maybe others, are we in a position to park things that are sitting in the temporary spec because they're sitting in a temporary spec, are they able to park them? I'm sorry if that's a bit convoluted, but that's my thinking.
Sorry, did you say, I was struggling a bit to hear you, did you say that if they're in the temporary spec, whether you can park them?
Yes, in a sense that when something comes up in a PDP and you identify it as outside of scope, you can put it to one side and say, you know, that's for the parties involved to determine, that's for operational decision making. Here, if something is sitting in the temporary spec and the scope of the EPDP is to deal with what's in the temporary spec, I think that's where this question is originating from. And Michele has his hand up, so he might be able to offer a particular contracted party perspective.
Excellent. Thank you, Heather. Yes, Michele, go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. Michele again for the record. So, for example, in the temporary spec, there are, for example, references to SLAs around, I'm going to get the acronym wrong, but RDS services, all that kind of thing. There are a few other things within the temporary specification that if this was a standard GNSO PDP, we would go, that's an implementation matter, not a policy matter.
Right. So in my simple mind then, there's something in the temporary specification which is not policy, and therefore you just don't need to worry about it. It just gets dealt with an implementation. Is that that's what you're saying? Yeah.
Sort of. I'm not trying to get into a kind of a religious argument about picket fences and all that, because that's not really an area I'm particularly comfortable with. But in simple, there's certain areas within this which are very, very clearly, you know, this temporary specification overrides existing policy.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody's disputing that. There are other areas of that which are very, very much operational, and, you know, some of the things, for example, might operationally be problematic, where if you're trying to follow the letter of what is actually written in this, which is why you would deal with them in an implementation. Whereas in the policy, you would say, you know, be a good person. I'm using a really simplistic example, simple and horrible example. In the implementation, you would specify what you consider good to be. You know, know you understand what I'm getting at.
I do. And it's an extremely good question, which I think we've explored as far as we can, and another one we need to add to the list to take offline and either discuss it some more or respond when we've had a chance to think about it. Can I just put that? Can I park the parking question?
Chris, I think in some respects it again goes to this question that I've raised a few times now around the scope, because in scoping it in terms of the policies and everything and contract clauses that would possibly help to highlight these things that are kind of off to one side. They need to be addressed. We're not saying that they don't, but whether they need to be addressed here or not is the question.
Okay. Fair enough. And I acknowledge that that needs to be dealt with. 9 we've talked about. Ten. I mean, the straight answer to 10 is we would explore with you other ways forward. I mean, clearly, absent another way forward, then there are things that automatically occur at the end of the 12-month period. The temporary policy, the temporary spec doesn't become consensus policy. The registrar or registry operator is no longer required to comply with it, and so on. But if I think our view is that if we look at periods of time throughout the process, when we assess with you how we think it's going, how you think it's going, where you think you're headed, we would try to explore and find ways forward that would enable the you know, if more time is required, that would enable more time to be had. I'm conscious that that is not a definitive answer, but I'm afraid it just goes back to one of those things that we talked about before, which is about not necessarily, you know, dealing with the issue as and when it rises in a sort of collegial and flexible way. Anyone want to comment on that before? Keith, your hand is up.
Thank you, Chris, and thanks very much for that response. I guess my takeaway from that, maybe just to summarize briefly, is that, you know, we have a 12-month period, you know, 90-day increments of a 12-month period to try to get as much work as we can get done. But the reference to flexibility, I think, is important because, in my view, this is our opportunity to get this right, and that we need to be, you know, cognizant of that opportunity and not necessarily rush unnecessarily to do things in a haphazard way. And I think that goes to the discussion around the chartering and the scoping of the group, however it's constructed. And to make sure that the group is focused in specific areas, narrowly scoped as possible, and then we have a clear timeline and path forward. But I do think it's very helpful to understand that there's some potential flexibility in working between the council as the managers of the policy process and the board to identify any risks of time pressure. So thank you very much for that response.
Thank you. I want to just say something, speaking entirely personally now, and I've got no clue whether others will agree with me or not, but the only thing, the only caveat or flag I would raise what you've just said is simply to say that the longer time that's involved, the more outside pressures exist and the more likelihood there is of decisions being taken out of our hands meaning ICANN's hands. And so I completely acknowledge what you've said, and you were responding to what I said, and yes, that's correct. But I do think we all need to be conscious that if we want to control this process and we want to control at least to some extent the outcomes, we do need to operate in a timely way, albeit that we may need more time than 12 months. Does that make sense to you, Keith?
Hi, Chris. Thank you very much. Yes, it does. Thanks very much. Completely agree with your point about the risks and the outside pressures. So taken on board. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to move on, conscious that we've got 10 minutes to go, unless anybody has another comment or question. Okay. So where are we at? 11 and 12. I'm going to tie those two together. These are the legal action ones. What do we, you know, the legal action involving EPAG and so on. I think the straight answer to that is that we all recognize that the ongoing discussions and pending court cases may have an impact on issues. But it's important to recognize that the PDP itself, or the ePDP, if that's what you decide to have, is not expected to deliberate on those issues, other than to, unless they're reflected in any modifications that need to be made. So I guess the interface with any legal action is limited to a finding that requires us. I'm hearing a really bad echo right now. Thank you, whoever just turned on, back onto mute. Finding in the legal cases that require us to make a modification to the temporary specification, but otherwise there isn't really much of an interface between the legal action and the ePDP. On timing, the key question you've asked on timing is question four, and I can just give you the straight, the simple answer is that the one-year period refers to the period of time for which the temporary policy is adopted, and that in this case is the 25th of May, and so therefore the one-year period for the consensus policy development process would end on the 24th of May 2019. And in answer to the board's questions above that, in respect to timing, it's up to the GNSO Council to start the PDP whenever they choose to do so. There is nothing, I'm guessing, to prevent them from waiting until January of next year to start the PDP. The key timeline is the 24th of May 2019 being the time in which the temporary spec is expires. But there's no specific timing in respect to a policy development process. I think that's basically correct. John and Erica, have I covered that properly?
Yes.
Good. Thanks, Erica. And then we go to five, which is the question about, again, it's a question about modification. I think we've kind of covered that. I'm going to, you know, just to briefly repeat, it really does depend on this particular set of facts and circumstances at the time. And perhaps I can take this opportunity to say that one of the things that, if it's not already obvious, you know, we really do want to continue to consult, and we're happy to do that in whatever way you find easiest. That may include appointing liaison to the PDP working group. It may include having a small board caucus liaising directly with you. It really is a matter. We really are keen to be involved and to help in any way that we can without, you know, seeking to impose views. So we're open and flexible to do this in any way that you feel comfortable. In respect to six, which is the question on the process of the temporary policy is only valid for 90 days. Sorry, Heather, I've just seen your hand. Go ahead.
Thanks, Chris. A comment and a question. The comment is in relation to the ongoing involvement of the board, and you see that's a question that we've added to the board's questions in relation to other participants in the next bucket. And I do think that it's a good idea that we further some thinking there in a sense of a concern for me, and I'll say I specifically added that question to the list. A concern for me is that the council goes down a path, and without that sort of instant consultation, particularly in an environment where we're thinking about changes to the temporary spec along the way, the sooner, the clearer those lines of communication are, the quicker that sort of feeding information back and forth can be. I think that's going to be helpful. But that leads me to my question, Chris. You know, in relation to five, you said, of course, it goes without saying that you'd like counsel, you want to consult. What does that mean when it comes to the decision of whether or not to, let's say, restart the clock or have a new, you know, how this is designated? What do you have in mind when you say, of course, you'd like the counsel to consult? Does that mean the counsel, you know, weighs in to some sort of decision-making process? Like, mechanically, how do you see that happening?
Thank you. You're actually coming at it from the other side to the way I was. I was talking about us us helping, you know, consulting with you and providing input to you if you needed it from us in respect to the PDP. What I think you're asking me is how we would expect to consult with you if we had to take some decisions. And I think the answer to that is pretty much the same, which is that, you know, we would liaise, we would talk, we would speak to the various parties, and we would take all of that into account before we made a decision. If you feel that it would be helpful for us to do that in a particular way, or you feel that some sort of structure would be useful for that, then that's fine. We can, we'll certainly, you know, be as flexible as we can and provide that, you know, if you think that's the best way forward. In respect to what you talk, in respect to your comments about other parties, I think really the same thing really applies. You've mentioned the participation of the GAC, et cetera, and how will they participate. Again, I would encourage us all to sit down and talk it through. I know Manal is on the call and is, you know, happy to facilitate discussions with the GAC and perhaps take steps again that are flexible and haven't been done before. So, for example, you know, maybe actually getting some interested and well-briefed GAC members to liaise directly with the PDP in the same way that they did way back when we did the IDN fast track. There's all sorts of possibilities, and we can't answer them on this call. What I think is important is that we agree to open up the channels of discussion and acknowledging that you're in charge, it's your PDP, you know, have everyone else stand ready to step in and help in any way that they can. Back to you, Heather, if you want to comment on that.
No, thanks, Chris. Old hand, thanks.
Okay. We're coming to the end. I'm conscious you guys have got another call. So just on the, go back to six, the way that we will deal with it is to, we'll hold meetings at 90-day intervals, or obviously slightly before 90-day intervals, and review prior to each meeting whether there's any new guidance, which may mean that we need to make changes, but as we've acknowledged, that's hard. It's not going to be very common. And then we will renew the temporary specification for a further 90 days. So we're putting in place the necessary logistical steps to make sure that we don't miss deadlines and that we get stuff done when we need to. And obviously, changes may need to happen outside of that cycle. So it's not impossible that you could find a situation where there has to be a change to the temporary specification outside of the 90-day cycle if there is urgent changes required. Again, very unlikely, but just flagging it for you so that you know it's there as a possibility. And question seven under this one is the same as the previous question about what do we do if we're out of time as the 1 year, and we've already discussed that, and that was the subject of some interchange between me and Keith. And then that takes us down to participation, which I think we really have already covered. So I'm tempted at this point, given that we've only got a few minutes left, to stop and hand it back to Heather and Shireen to close up, other than to say, just in finishing that, I think obviously if we need to have further discussion, if more discussion would be helpful, either the full council and the full board or groups thereof, very happy to facilitate that if necessary. Shireen, Heather, back to you.
Heather first. Heather, you say summary points, and then I'll say something closing.
Thanks very much, Shireen, and thank you very much, Chris, for your able handling of you know a long list of questions in a short amount of time. What I suggest that we do, we've got some notes from the meeting today, tried to record specifically, going back to the point at the beginning of the call, where questions need to be followed up and by whom, and I will continue, I'm sorry, to push the point about timeline for follow-up as well. So I think let's go over our respective notes for this call, work together a bit of a task list, and that may well
well include from either side, and I wouldn't say that it's one or the other, from either side a request for a further call. So let's be mindful of the fact that council is holding an extraordinary meeting next Thursday. That extraordinary meeting is being called purely for the purposes of discussing the things that we're talking about now. And then our next council meeting after that will be in Panama. So that's our timetable. Thanks very much. Shireen, over to you.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Chris, for facilitating this call. And thank everybody for attending. I think the tone and the spirit of the call was very collegial, and really appreciate that. I acknowledge there are challenges ahead. This is not going to be easy. And as Keith and Donna and others mentioned, some flexibility is required. And we reaffirm the point that we see the GNSO as the manager of the PDP. Our job as a board is to stand there ready to support the GNSO, and looking forward to opening a line of communication so that we're available to answer any questions in a spontaneous and responsive manner. With that, thank you, everybody. The meeting is closed. Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. This concludes today's meeting. The operator, you may now stop the recordings and disconnect your lines. Have an excellent rest of your day.